Hello and welcome to the Two Roads and Two Destinies radio ministry. For Mark Beebe and Jeff Buckles, this is Mike Moody. We're with you each weekday afternoon from 1 to 1:15. And our goal is to teach the Word of God, edify the saints, and to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. Also, each brother rotates the speaking from week to week. And now, our message for today. Hello, this is Mike Moody along with Jeff Buckles and Mark Beebe. As we start this week in a new study, a new book rather, 2 Timothy, as we're continuing in our weeks with the Bible study and the pastoral epistles, as it's called, 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus. So we find our way into 2 Timothy. We're close to halfway through this little portion of study. But let's now begin with a word of prayer. Our Father and our Lord, we thank you again for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the opportunity to open the precious Word of God. We thank you for every believer that's listening. We thank you for the interest that's in the Word of God. Father, we just pray that the Word would help us in our needs and our life to follow Christ in a better way, that we might glorify Him, that we might understand more that's in your Word. And Father, that we might know more about the Lord Jesus Christ, we just ask these things in His name. And we ask that the lost soul that might be listening might be brought to hear the Word in truth, that the Spirit might deal with them. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. So we're in chapter 1 of 2 Timothy. We're going to read the first 12 verses. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hand. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner. But be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Whereunto I am appointed a preacher, and an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. We'll stop the reading at verse 13. And as we cut off there, the following few verses give an example of what he's been speaking of in our reading. But we'd like to say in this book, 2 Timothy, it's a book of steadfastness. As we saw in 1 Timothy, we saw there speaking of sound doctrine, and we can see in 2 Timothy, and then leading on into Titus, we can see sound behavior. But here in 2 Timothy, we could say chapter by chapter. Chapter 1, we could think of it of the word remembrance and assurance, confidence. We'll look at primarily five areas of confidence in chapter 1. When we get to chapter 2, we see instruction for strength. Chapter 3, we see divine inspiration for soundness. In chapter 4, we see preparation before departure. As we remember here, that Paul in chapter 4 mentions that he said, I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. This one, Paul, we could say at the beginning of this study of 2 Timothy, we could think of that song, It Is Well With My Soul. This Paul, this prisoner, this apostle of the Lord could sing, It Is Well With My Soul. He was prepared to meet his Lord. He had served him with his whole heart, and he knew, he was persuaded in the one that was able to keep that which he had committed unto him against that day. He was looking toward meeting the Lord. And yet in his final letter here and from prison to his younger brother in the faith, he was exhorting him in steadfastness. In the light of a death of martyrdom, Paul was exhorting Timothy to continue on. We could note there's some 20 duties in this book of 2 Timothy that's mentioned to Timothy. He's told to stir up. He's told to be not ashamed. He's told to be a partaker. He's told to hold fast, to be strong, to endure hardness, to commit to faithful men, not to strive, to study, to shun certain things, to flee certain things, to avoid certain things, not to strive, turn away from certain things, to continue to preach, to watch, to endure, to do the work, and to make full proof of his ministry. Some 20 duties exhorted by Paul to Timothy, and we would do well to take heed and listen to these exhortations as we go through these 4 chapters of 2 Timothy. Now, this afternoon, let's look at the first couple of verses. Here we see the first area of confidence, the promise of life. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son. Now here we see in 1 Timothy, if we were to compare the first and second letters to Timothy, the introduction is rather interesting. In 1 Timothy, he starts off by saying, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the commandment of God. 2 Timothy, he says it's by the will of God. So we see the commandment of God and the will of God. We see as he goes on in 1 Timothy in his introduction, he speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. 2 Timothy, he goes on to say, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus. Very similar. Then we see how he goes on in 1 Timothy, speaking unto Timothy, my own son in the faith, or my genuine child. 2 Timothy, he says of Timothy, my dearly beloved child, or my dearly beloved son. So we see here similar terminology, speaking in the introduction to Timothy. And when, in speaking of this very thought of Timothy and being a beloved son, it's hard just to pinpoint exactly if this means that he led Timothy to the Lord or not, because the first time that we understand them being together according to Scripture is in Acts 16, the first couple of verses where Paul had gone on to a certain area, and we see there that this one Timothy had been well reported of by the brethren, and Paul decided to take Timothy with him, and so we don't know exactly for sure if he had been around this brother before or not. But in chapter 16 of Acts, it says, then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess and believed, but his father was a Greek, which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. him would Paul have to go forth with him, and took and circumcised him because of the Jews which were in those quarters. Okay, as we see the background in Acts 16, Paul took Timothy along with him in his journeys, took him under his wing. So as we see Paul and Timothy working together in the work of the Lord and work of the gospel, and we see here that we could consider Paul obviously as an apostle, yet Timothy an extension of this apostolic work. Paul was one of the apostles, yet Timothy was there helping the work of the Lord with Paul, being discipled, if you will, or mentored by this one Paul. And then as we see here in the introduction that Timothy in verse 2 in the letter is told grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. We understand here that just like in Titus, that letter to Titus, and just like in 1 Timothy, Paul says grace, mercy, and peace, whereas when he speaks to the local churches, the different gatherings of believers, he says grace and peace. So it's very interesting to me that the word mercy is added there when he speaks to individuals. Don't we need that extra encouragement? We need that word mercy, being reminded of the mercy that we've been given by our Father. Now, this also brings to mind the word remembrance. The word remembrance is in chapter 1 three times, verses 3, 5, and 6. He speaks of remembrance, and the portion we'll look primarily at tomorrow a couple of times, where he speaks of the remembrance of Timothy in his prayers. He also speaks of bringing to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in Timothy and his mother and grandmother. And also then he'd speak of putting Timothy to remembrance that he should stir up or rekindle the gift of God that he has stewardship of. My friend, is this message applicable to you? I say it is. If you know Christ as your Savior, we need to hear those words, grace, mercy, and peace. We need to be reminded of that promise of life that we have in Christ Jesus. Speaking of the promise of life, there's a few promises mentioned in the New Testament. There was the promise of the Spirit of God that was mentioned ahead of time, speaking of the Comforter in John 14, and then we see it carried on through in the book of Acts, and how that we now are sealed until the day of redemption with that Spirit, we that know Christ. From salvation on, we have the Spirit of God in us. And if we are saved, the Spirit of God is in us. There is no such a thing as a second blessing, because the Scripture says if you have not the Spirit of Christ, you're none of His. We have it from salvation on. There was the promise of the Spirit. And then also we see that there is the promise of eternal inheritance. And of course there's that promise that Abraham had back before the law. And in Galatians, it explains of how the law did not disannul the promise to Abraham. And that promise is what comes through in Galatians 3, 17 and 18. That tells us about how we have that promise in Christ. The law came to show us that we were sinners, but we are saved by the promise. The promise is in Christ. They're saved, or children of Abraham by the Spirit, because we have faith in Christ. Faith. We're justified by faith before God. Then we're justified by works before men. As we see Abraham, this one that the promise was given to, he first believed God and it was counted on him to righteousness. And then, later on, years later, he was justified by works whenever he was willing to offer up his son Isaac. So we see the chronological order. Faith first. And this is where we see it tying into the promise. But we now can say with Paul, according to the promise of life. We'll pick up there tomorrow, Lord willing. Thank you.